We're kicking down his motherfucking door, and we're doing that.
Let's get into it. If there's anything that could be haunted, for sure that fucking chair's haunted.
Then again, the internet always wins. The internet always wins.
Searching around about this dock, I found...
Let's be frank, there's piss on the floor.
He was pulled out of power, and he was murdered by firing squad. I'll start huffing pain. Three dudes in a dock. That's the one.
That is what it's called.
Okay, welcome back for another week. I apologize for the late arrival of this episode. I was a little sick yesterday. This week we are watching Dick Johnson is Dead, directed by Dick Johnson's own daughter, Kirsten Johnson. I'm here with Mitch and Christian as always. Good day, gentlemen.
Hello.
Yo.
Yes, I apologize for canceling Sunday and yesterday.
But Tyler probably still alive.
I was puking my fucking guts out. I thought I might be dead.
Oh, this is all a dream.
All a dream.
That's fun.
Yeah. But we're back now, so that's great. Out with another episode. I know we have some non-Netflix users. Were you able to get a hold of it?
Mitch is shaking his head, and no. I'm also shaking my head with my voice in the phrase of no.
Okay.
I tried. I really did try for about 20 minutes.
Netflix has a lock on shit, man. Such bitches.
There is a $5.99. There's a $5.99 option now.
Yeah, that's the key for the lock, and I don't want to do that. Okay. I like the good old days.
Fair enough. The Wild Wild West.
Password sharing days. Mitch sent us a link earlier in the week. I think it was on Sunday afternoon.
It's like Criterion?
Yeah, yeah. And I was super stoked because I kind of let go of most of my streaming services, and I was going to get the Criterion channel, but it's not there yet, or maybe it won't ever be there. The Criterion Collection doesn't put everything on their streaming channels.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to buy the DVD, but it wouldn't be here in time, and it's a lot more expensive than a subscription. So,
true story.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't sick, you guys could have came over and watched it here. So
I was looking through the window, but it was kind of blurry, and
I was very naked.
Yeah. Three taps on the window means turn it up.
I will tell you that you guys missed a quaint but enjoyable documentary.
Do you think it was worth? Do you think it would be worth buying on Criterion, like the super 4K edition?
How much
is this 4K one? It's like $65.
Yeah. No, you know what? I enjoyed it. Would I watch it again tomorrow? Probably not. But if someone was like, "Hey, I'm going to watch Dick Johnson is Dead. Do you want to watch it?" I'd be like, "Oh yeah, yeah, cool." So it's I'm terrified of Alzheimer's and dementia and all that stuff. I'm terrified of my parents getting it and having to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of puts that all to the forefront. So basically what the premise of the doc is Kirsten Johnson, her dad is a psychiatrist, gets diagnosed with dementia. Her mother passed away from Alzheimer's. So she moves him from Seattle, where he practices his psychiatry, to New York City to live with her in a one-bedroom apartment.
Make you go crazy.
Yeah, and basically just to kind of look after him and everything. And in the process, they talk about his life, and it's a nice, if you've ever. Obviously everyone has parents, whether you get along with them or not. Sometimes I think about fuck, what's going to happen when my parents go? And it's kind of a nice, lead up to that. Fuck. Yeah. You really do kind of this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Dick Johnson does not pass away by the end of the movie. So spoiler alert.
I think you have to say spoiler before you say the spoiler. Yeah,
but I mean, if everyone's listening, they've either already watched or they're not going to watch or whatever. Yeah. But it does a few things. So like, it makes you confront like, fuck yeah, like my parents are going to die. Yeah. And it might not be sudden. It might be long and drawn out and suck. Yeah. But yeah, like, and he's kind of a funny dude. Dick Johnson, he's kind of a playful guy. So basically what they do throughout the movie is like concoct different scenarios where he dies on camera. Mm-hmm. Like there's one where he gets like attacked on the street. There's one where an air conditioner falls out of an apartment building or office building and cracks him on the head. Wow. There's one where he just like has a heart attack and collapses. So it's stuff like that. So it's like going through like, well, what if he died this way? What if he died this way? And like a lot of it isn't like the end production value of him acting out the scene. Some of it is just behind the scenes footage of them acting out the scene. And it's not like the full edited version. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah. And then there's some fully edited, like,
it just breaks it up because I feel like if it was all fully edited, it would just get repetitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So little fun fact about Dick Johnson. He doesn't have toes per se. Like he has he has like misshapen feet.
The fuck war was he in?
He was born like that.
Oh, well, yeah. He definitely wasn't in the war then.
And so she asked him like, what's one thing like you wish you could have? And he's like normal feet. So like, really? Yeah.
Does he walk on funky donkey or like he can walk?
No, like, yeah, he kind of has like I wouldn't even, if I didn't know from the doc, I would say, no, he's good. He's normal.
That's just how old people walk. He's a normal footer, but no.
But yeah, like, I think it's, he grew up in a period where like, you know, he's probably he's probably older than that. He's probably 70 something at the time of this doc, which was like, I don't know when it was shot, but released in 2020.
I think he was like 87.
Yeah.
He was pretty old. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, he grew up at a time when he was born, like his mother was ashamed of his deformity. Like, oh, my child is not as it should be. So he kind of carried this shame of his deformity throughout his life. So she asked him, like, you know, what's one thing you wish you could always have? And he's like, well, normal feet. So she edits together like a little clip of him going to heaven and like this like really like funny Jesus type thing where Jesus like puts his feet in like this tub of water and then he lifts his feet out and they're normal feet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that's terrible for Jesus to do.
You can run amongst the clouds now, my son.
Yeah. And obviously like he talks about how much he misses his wife and, you know, she passed away from Alzheimer's and all this stuff. So there's like little vignettes of him. Like it's obviously not his wife, but it's a woman holding like a big, like if anyone has ever seen these like foam masks, I know we have a couple here of Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un.
A few people.
Yeah. But so it's like one of those, it's just a person holding like one of these foam masks of his wife in front of them, like dancing around. And like, it's super fun about a really shitty topic.
Yeah.
And it's not shitty to the point where like, you know, you feel sick for someone like, you know, some of the, you know, Palestinian docs or,
One Child Nation.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the racism docs we watch, like those are
Israeli documentaries, Tyler.
Well, the Five Broken Cameras is what I was calling a Palestinian documentary, even though it's technically an Israeli documentary.
They paint the good guys as bad guys in that one, though.
But it's not. So it's about a tough subject, but it's not a wow, you know, this really makes my heart hurt, like Dear Zachary or like,
yeah, it could just be an hour of that.
Any of the countless shit we've watched that just really tug at your heart. Mm-hmm. But it kind of does it in a fun way. And
that's cool.
Like I said, Dick Johnson has a great sense of humor. there's a one point where like they're acting out, like he gets hit by like a 2x4 on the street from a construction worker, and it like gashes open his neck and he's like spurting out blood, and he's leaning up against like a mailbox or something. And he's like, you know what? This is the most pain I've felt since I had my heart attack. Like it must've been like fall or winter in New York City.
Yeah.
He had like all like the liquid and he was freezing. He was like, I'm just fucking cold. And they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to shut this one down right now.
They kill him on this one.
Yeah. 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 They might have actually, but he pulls a Tom Sawyer. He attends his own funeral.
Nice. So
before they move him to New York, they,
oh, you're going to say he says a bunch of M-bombs.
No, they put together like a full funeral for him and he's backstage watching. And everyone knows he's not dead, but like they're, let me rephrase that. I don't know if all the people don't know he's not actually dead.
Well, he doesn't come out on stage like, gotcha, motherfucker.
I think afterwards, but it's kind of like they're filming during, like the one guy doing his eulogy is just like, he knows that he's alive, but he's like fucking full broke down crying.
Damn.
During the eulogy. And I mean like that. That's kind of like a cool thing to witness, right? Like it's a macabre thing, but like to witness your own funeral, what, you know, and again, if people don't know you're actually not dead, and say things truthfully and from the heart, then it's kind of a cool thing to see. But if everyone's just like play acting and you're like, oh, okay, well, this is just lip service from this point. But
because if you're an asshole, that's an interesting fucking funeral. Like people, you could tell they're trying real hard.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I guess Mitch was,
he showered every day.
Yeah. That was great. He was nice. And you're like, fuck you. Or no one shows up and you're like, oh, wow.
They had a full program and everything.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That'd be funny to have two programs. I like that one. And then like when he actually passes away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. So yeah, it doesn't end like, you know, saying, oh, Dick Johnson passed away at this date. And I couldn't find anything online that he was still alive.
Yeah, that's what Christian was saying.
And I couldn't find anything that said he was dead.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, like, that's
kicked COVID in the dick and kept on running.
Yeah. It's maybe not for us, but it would be, unfortunately, an interesting thing to note just because of the timing of this. I mean, in 25 years, there's no question.
But yeah.
Well, when did this come out? Like 10 years ago?
No, 2020.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I assume it was shot, you know, within a few years before, because there's no mention of COVID in it. Yeah. So I don't think COVID is a thought on anyone's mind during this.
Okay. Like,
I don't even know if it was, it may have been released before COVID even, because COVID was March of 2020. Let me see.
Cool. Yeah, there was a Roman emperor. I don't recall which one. He, every time he would be sort of done for the day and ready for bed, he would host a full funeral and procession to his bedchambers. And he would essentially practice dying each night because he wasn't 100% sure that he would just wake up the next day, because he viewed like each day as
right.
a kind of a full life. And
yeah.
Bizarre to host your own funeral, but if you have the money to do it, why not? It might be fun.
I see in the morning, he just, for the first 20 minutes, he just acts like a baby.
Yeah, every day is an actual whole
life. And then at noon, he's just like a moody teenager.
You son of a bitch.
Like, man, this guy's worse than fucking Caligula. Like, Jesus Christ.
Don't ask this guy to do anything before noon.
So
shoot his pants and scream at you.
Yeah, this was released on October... Excuse me, October 2nd of 2020.
Okay.
So it's released post COVID.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. But no word on. So now I'm gonna search Richard Johnson because
his full name is C. Richard Johnson.
Yeah.
I think it's Charles or something.
He goes by Dick.
That's telling.
Oh, so
I've searched it. There is a bunch. And there are some who are professors, and there are some who live in Seattle, and it's just a mess.
It'd be wild if he got killed by one of the reenactments, like a real life reenactment. Like he was walking down the street one day, and a construction worker just smokes him with a 2x4.
So he is dead.
Oh, that would be fucking crazy.
He is dead.
Oh, you did find it.
I think. Charles Richard Dick Johnson. Oh, maybe not.
Famously from the documentary.
No, I don't think this is him.
It doesn't help that he has the most fucking common name in the goddamn world.
Yeah, Charles Richard Johnson.
Oh, cool.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, no. This guy was a Caltech alumni, but in...
It looked like the same one. It sounds kind of shitty. I hope that if Kirsten's listening, it's not some kind of morbid curiosity and a talking point. It was genuine interest and care.
Hey, is this guy still alive? Because he's old and shit.
So as of January 13th, Kristen Johnson posted on the Dick Johnson is Dead Instagram page a quick hello from Dick. He now lives in a dementia care facility on the East Coast near his son, and Kirsten is able to visit monthly, He still remembers that Kirsten is his daughter and likes to tell her how much he loves her.
So, oh, that's fantastic. That's great.
So as of January 13th, so a couple weeks ago, Dick Johnson is not dead.
Dick Johnson is still alive.
That's the sequel.
God dang. I lived with my grandparents and they both died of dementia. It was... this doc would be hard to watch because I remember what it was like. And this is just my experience. I'm not trying to translate this over to Kirsten or anything that you would see in the doc, but it's difficult. It's a difficult disease to die of, or at least to succumb to, because Dick Johnson died a bunch of different times. Only because it's trying on your patience and on your ability to be a caregiver. Basically 24/7.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That you have this person around, and I grew up with my grandparents, so I know them as 50% parents and completely capable and competent caregivers. And then the roles are reversed, and like there was no discussion about like, all right, tomorrow you're going to have to fucking step up to the plate there, buddy, and like fetch me food and like help me wash my dentures and all this kind of stuff. The roles reverse and there was no preparation for it. You can see it slowly start to happen because they lose control and capabilities here and there. And then it just sneaks up on you one day that like you're over there as soon as you're home from work or you're back from school and you basically don't leave until your parents come home. And then you all kind of sit as a family just so that all eyes are on these people at all times.
Yeah.
Like there was arrests, like my grandpa got arrested a couple of times because he would just wander around downtown and like harass people. And he called a couple of people witches.
Nice.
Like, oh, that's where your fascination
That's where that comes from. But it's difficult, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it is talked about, but it's trying on your patience and you just feel bad. But at some points you forget that these people are people that you've cared about your entire life, that they've known you longer than you've known them. And now they don't know you at all.
Yeah.
And you would just get angry sometimes. Mm-hmm. You get frustrated and annoyed because these people that were there for you 100%. Now they can't be there almost for you at all. And sometimes
like they can't even be there for themselves.
Yeah. Like they can't be there for you or themselves. And they wouldn't know you if you told them that you're there for them. It just, they kind of become a version of a stranger, and it's definitely difficult. It's just not an easy disease to accommodate and to care for,
absolutely, especially
as a family member. It's not, I don't want to take anything away from like caregivers in nursing homes or dementia care facilities, but like maybe it's easier when they're strangers. You know that they've lived a life
for sure.
Yeah, because you can put hands on them.
Or that, just tip the bed over. And like,
the they're not going to tell anyone. They don't remember.
Yeah. Maybe it would be easier if they were a stranger and this was just your job. And
I think so for sure. But
because then you can come home and
I think nurses, you know, for the most part, are super compassionate people. I mean, like, you have to be a good nurse. So I think they, you know, they take their work home with them a little bit. And like, I know when my grandfather was in, like a facility, you know, there was a lot of, nurses that, you know, kind of not took him under their wing, but, you know, I grew attached to him and everything like that. And just like when he passed, like they come in and like they're sobbing, and everything like that. We were lucky. So the facility my grandfather was in, I guess it would be his niece was, and her daughter were two of the nurses on that, wing.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So there was some family there, you know, that, you know, I don't know if they took extra special care, but you know, there's some familiarity. Sure. And I mean, obviously I think he lost, you know, recognition of them for just as much or earlier than he lost of the rest of us. But it's comforting for, you know, like my dad and siblings to know that, you know, there's someone there that knows him, cares about him and stuff like that. Whereas some of these people, and like my grandma was there constantly. And it's some of these people suffering from Alzheimer's get dumped into these, wards and like left there for lack of better terms. Their family pays the bills to keep them there, but that's it.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's fucking insane to me. And like Christian said, like someone who has, you know, whether you've lived with your grandparents or not, you know, someone who's taken care of you, you know, for most of these people, like obviously they have children. And like for someone to just kind of throw them in there and be like, nah, well, they don't recognize me. No sense going to, you know, I'll pay the bills, keep them there and keep them, you know, looked after, but that's about it. And there's so many of those people. So many.
Yeah. I think that's the majority. I would think for like North American or at least like the Western hemisphere, save maybe South America, unfortunately. But
is that just because they don't grow to be old? Or
I just think they've got a different healthcare system.
Throw them into the jungle.
It's not quite like Europe or North America. I would just imagine that there are less like care specific seniors homes there, especially something like 24/7, like palliative care, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kristen's right. Like I said, my grandfather had Alzheimer's. My grandmother had a really crazy not form of Alzheimer's, but like a very rapid form of dementia. So seeing it play out over 10 years and then see it play out over 4 months crazy comparison as well.
Yeah, that is nuts.
So I feel like if the Criterion Collection, to completely change gears, if they're willing to look at this, do you think that it was based on the content or do you think it was based on production?
There's nothing overly crazy about the production. Like some like the vignettes are like super colorful and, you know, they're good quality, but yeah, I would probably say it's the content. I feel like Criterion mostly looks at content rather than.
If they're in like an archiving company, then
why the fuck is Dear Zachary not on there?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Why?
Yeah.
They could make maybe that shit crisp.
I don't want to see that stuff in HD.
Oh man, that family getting mad, like it would be like 3D. So when the dad throws his hands out, he's like, whoa, coming right at me.
The baby.
That could be fun.
Terrifying.
Go to the edge of the cliff in the East Coast. You're like, whoa, that's the spot.
We have seen a Kirsten Johnston documentary before.
Oh, really?
Have we?
Citizen 4. Yeah, the Snowden dog. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't learn that until like 45 minutes ago.
Well, I just learned that now.
Well, I guess as did I. Yeah, I was surprised. She did one called The Oath as well. And she also did a camera person.
Yes, I see camera person now.
Yeah, sounds pretty neat. It doesn't
Or what's that about?
No, it's about her as a cinematographer, I believe, and her career as like a documentary photographer. I think she inserts and tells the story of stuff that she's seen and kind of the ethics and the making of documentaries in general.
That's cool.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Oh.
Probably justice systems in some respect or doctors.
She has a very, very lengthy cinematographer resume.
Yeah, right.
Her directorial, is good as well. Like, she's directed 7 documentaries. So she didn't direct Citizen 4.
Oh, she didn't. What did she do then?
She was cinematographer on it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so the ones she's directed are, it was a short called Into in Paris. I don't think it's a doc. Innocent Until Proven Guilty was a TV movie. Looks like she did Deadline, Field of Vision, but I believe those are that's a episode of a TV show. The Above, which is also a short, camera person, then Dick Johnson is Dead.
Really? So she's kind of only done like 2 feature documentaries.
Yeah.
Cool. Interesting. Well, they're fucking knockouts.
Have you seen Camera Person?
No, but no. I've read quite a bit about it, and it sounds great. I can't imagine someone spending so much time on a shitty documentary like to write about it.
Yeah.
But if you're a cinematographer, I'm sure it obviously is probably shot really cool.
Yeah. Well, and so the little explanation of it on IMDb is, exposing her role behind the camera, Kirsten Johnson reaches into the vast trove of footage she has shot over decades around the world. What emerges is a visually bold memoir and revelatory interrogation of the power of the camera.
Nice.
It sounds very interesting.
It sounds right up my alley, but unfortunately, I kind of, when I was reading about it, it reminded me of the doc that I watched at DocFest last year. Called Subject.
Okay.
And it was all about what it was like to be a subject in a documentary, especially kind of a popular one that had a bit of a...
Oh, yes. I remember you talking about afterwards.
How that helped.
Yeah. I was pretty disappointed in that because it was looking at specific cases and what it is like to have a documentary done about you.
Yeah.
And it's important. That's obviously a part of this, but I thought that it was going to be kind of more about documentaries in general.
Okay.
Like the history of what it's like to be in a documentary almost. But I kind of feel like Camera Person might be the same, but from the perspective of the actual camera person instead of the subject. Like, these are fundamental aspects to documentary filmmaking, but it's not quite on the head yet,
right.
I think, is what I'm looking for.
So, she was also the director of photography on This Film Was Not Yet Rated.
Oh, cool.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
That was a great book.
I loved that.
She is also the cinematographer on The Invisible War. So she's worked with Kirby Dick a couple times.
Right. The Invisible War was the one about sexual assault in the U.S.
Correct.
Military.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Jesus, she's been around.
Yeah. Well, there's one more that she was a cinematographer on a movie called a documentary called Lioness, which is the untold story of the first woman in U.S. history to be sent into direct ground combat. So there's a dramatized show right now from Taylor Sheridan called Lioness. It's about female soldiers.
But wait, when I want to know more about this story.
It's the untold story of the first woman in U.S. history. I guess first women in U.S. history to be sent into direct ground combat, which I imagine was probably
the
like
war?
No. They weren't sent into direct ground combat.
Well, what war was this?
I would say probably the first Gulf War, or let's see if it tells me here.
Man, those Muslims, dude, had a crazy last thought. Mm-hmm.
And she was the director of photography for this?
Yeah, she's listed as the cinematographer.
Cinematographer, yeah. Check it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
73-pound badasses in the desert?
Right.
Yeah. I'm sad to have not been able to watch this. I'm going to keep my eye out for it. And
well, like I said,
it'd be a cool find on DVD or something.
When you guys come over next time, we can throw it on here.
All right. I don't want to be at your house for that long.
Okay, fine.
We might get COVID or something, or whatever you have.
Yeah, I don't know what I felt like I was the most hungover I've ever been in my life, but I never had a drink.
Weird.
Yeah. Puked my fucking guts out.
Maybe it's the vaccine.
I haven't had one of those in a while, so I doubt it.
Taking people out lately.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. We don't need to get into that.
Sounds like propaganda.
There was a scene that I had only read about. There's an excellent essay, if anyone is interested, on the Criterion's website for free. You don't have to pay for this one. I don't recall the author's name. Anyways, it's there. It's on the Dick Johnson is Dead page. It's a giant article.
Right.
And the author talks about a scene where, I think it's the heaven scene, where Dick Johnson is falling like in slow motion, or like he's jumping up and down or something, and there's feathers and sequins, bubbles. I guess they decided to do that in slow motion because at times on set or in shoots, he would be quite distant and sort of detached and would only have flashes of a kind of identity, like he was behind his eyes again and he was back home.
Right.
And so they decided to do it in super slow motion, like 1,000 frames per second.
Yeah.
And catch his brief moments of return in slow-mo, because that's really all that they could get.
Right.
Which I thought, I mean, like on paper, that's fucking crazy. That's super duper cool.
Yeah.
I can't imagine filming in slow motion for like minutes and minutes at a time, or like 15 minute segments, because it's really unpredictable when people with dementia are going to have like a moment of lucidity.
Yeah.
And like to catch it in slow motion, maybe you could like do it better now with like high tech cameras. I don't know if it's taxing like I know it used to be, but yeah, so they shot it all in slow motion, or they had the idea to shoot it in slow motion, and they thought it would be neat to catch it in slow motion. But what do you like? How do you set up a scene so that it doesn't look like just basically a slow moving picture?
Yeah,
of someone. So they thought what would look really neat in slow motion, and they landed on feathers and bubbles and pink and sequins and gold glitter. And
it does look cool in slow motion.
Yeah. And I think that's like in the trailer, and I think it's actually basically the cover art as well. For
it's him like smiling.
Poster. Yeah. Yeah,
so like the cover art is his face. Like a, so in the, like the trailer, it's like the first scene of the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, they decided to shoot slow motion because they couldn't allow the viewer to see those moments of like agency that he still retained.
Yeah.
We could see it on set because they saw him coherent, and then they would see him start to slip out and then come back and he would be fine. And it's different to try to put that stuff to camera for sure.
Right.
So they brought it in slow motion instead. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So the poster is him with like kind of like a shocked face. And a crossbones under his head, and like some greenery between his head and the crossbones. So,
him dying.
Kind of, yeah.
Cool. I wonder, like, it seems like a bit of an obtuse question, but like, I wonder if it was cathartic for Kirsten and crew to like film a bunch of different deaths. Cause like you said in the beginning, like he could be mugged on the street
or
have a heart attack on a subway or like something could fall out of an apartment building and just.
Oh,
like,
I think it would have to be honestly.
I wonder if it eases you too. And it would ease you.
Like, cause you know that this is going to be a long, shitty, frustrating disease that is effectively terminal in its own unique way. And doing these sort of softens the blow, like you said, like, well, he could have died like this. Like there are so many ways that you can die. And like this is a long, drawn out, super shitty, painful one. And like I have like a deep fear of losing my mind, but I've always imagined myself losing my mind like to drugs in a bad way. But
oh, you should keep trying.
Dementia. Yeah, I have been, but that's why we're late in part. But no, I just it would be, I think probably not relieving, but I feel like it would soften the blow in a sense to do all of these different ones. But maybe only in the moment. I don't know. Like while you're shooting the scene of him being hit by a 2x4, you're like, oh man, this, like, that would really suck. Mm-hmm. And then you look at him off set, you turn the camera off, and he's just kind of lolling around in his armchair that they shipped out for him. And it just, like, that would fucking blow. I don't know if it would make any difference. I don't know. Obviously, like, it's your parent dying. I don't know. And like right before your eyes too, like inside their brain, it's just slowly kind of coming apart like a sweater that has a loose thread. And it just, I don't know if it would make it any better at all. Cause it's easy for us to sit back for an hour and a half. Is it only an hour and a half?
It is
90 minutes,
an hour and 29 minutes. So
I was going to say it's easy for us to sit back as viewers and be like, wow, that's like kind of fun. It's a neat way to look at it. He looks like he had a lot of fun. She's there basically 24/7, especially now that he lives with her, to care, but she wants to put something down, for the record in the way that she knows how. Like some people write songs if they're a singer songwriter for their parents.
Right.
Some people paint pictures, some people write books, or some people build buildings. But Kirsten Johnson's a filmmaker, so she makes a film. Like, she deals with this in the only way that she kind of knows how, other than just the human banal pain of everyday caregiving. She tries her best to sort of ease the pain by pretending all of these different deaths, but I don't know if it would make a difference.
Yeah, no, it's a tough thing to face. And I think doing it over and over and just getting it out on, like you said, she's a filmmaker. So film is her medium, you know, where, you know, if she was a painter, maybe she paints a picture of her dad and, you know, what, you know, it means to have him and everything like that. And she does say in, the beginning that, you know, she goes, I don't know what I'm going to do without this man. Like, he's been my best friend for, you know, my whole entire life. And like, that's a crazy thing to think of. Like, you know, there are people, like, I'm very close with my parents. But there are people who are insanely more close, that, you know, talk to their mother or father, you know, 10 times a day. You know, they see them, you know, 5 times a week. I live very close to my parents. You know, sometimes I might not see them in a week. I love them, but I'm not like, I wouldn't consider my parents my best friend. There's some people who are absolutely that close. And to think of, you know, if you think about losing your best friend right now, you're like, holy fuck, that sucks. I hope, you know, I hope not. Mm-hmm. Now roll that into being your parent as well. Like, it's, like, I don't know how you, I don't know how you put that on paper. So
yeah, I don't know how you like you reconcile at the end of it these two things.
Yeah,
potentially.
But yeah, that would be tough.
So you know, kudos to her.
Your friends.
I guess they can make a movie about you.
But yeah, kudos to you know Kirsten Johnson for being able to and like I think quite poetically getting this on film and you know really kind of it does a nice job of painting what it's like in like the emotions.
Could this go into like that quirky family documentary, like Sarah Polley? Documentary kind of about one thing and then it turns into something. Well, I guess it's not, but just weirdness of family or just I don't know. This is more so how to cope with death.
Yeah. That's more what this is.
So
I don't know. Like it's not something that people think of all the time, I don't think. Like not everyone wakes up.
Like a subject too that could be an hour and a half of like super heavy, like, oh, I lost my mom to this.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I'm going to lose. So you're just like, holy fuck. But
yeah.
That you make it like entertaining and enjoyable. There's times of laugh. And yeah.
Absolutely.
Did this win any awards or anything?
I don't think it did, but let me double check.
Getting into the Criterion Collection is an award in and of itself. Just for you. I got the Christian stamp of approval.
I would say it won one primetime Emmy.
Fuck yeah.
So I'll tell you what
tight.
The category was in 2 seconds.
If I don't know what the Emmy anything is, except documentary. It's going to be, or maybe it was like cinematography.
Outstanding directing for a documentary / nonfiction program.
Oh,
okay, cool.
So it was also nominated for exceptional merit in documentary filmmaking at the Primetime Emmys and outstanding cinematography for a nonfiction program.
Cool. Yeah. Was there a scene in this where Kirsten is filming her dad and he falls or something and the camera drops off the shot and because like she's manning the camera.
Yeah.
That did happen?
Yes, I believe so.
That's awesome shit. She could have just edited that out, but
yeah.
Didn't just him falling and the camera falling.
That's right. Like you know again and I think you know, going back to, you know, Christian's kind of documentary categories, like this, like that's a documentary. Like she's not turning off the camera. She shows the sad truth of looking after someone with Alzheimer's or dementia. You know, like they're not the most stable people, like on their feet or whatever. There are times where like yeah like you gotta just drop what you're doing and help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just imagine if that happened in another world and Kirsten is shitty and she's like wait I just gotta save just like clicks the camera that unfocuses and then focuses back in and she's just you can hear clicky clacky of her fucking saving the file and she's like okay dad sorry I had to save that.
No, not even she just like follow focus him as he's falling that like yeah, it looks fucking like it's shot so perfect you're like oh wow and I'm like wait this is that girl's dad that she's just watching smoke the concrete. Well, you got to get the shot. And like, God damn, she's a true cinematographer.
And
that's exactly how cameras can annihilate their subject.
Yeah. It'd be funny, too, if someone watching that shot and like, yo, the camera. Wait, the fuck are you doing? What the
fuck? Yeah.
That's a $30,000 camera, lady. It's like, you really?
Yeah. I think this doc is like for maybe just that scene alone. It isn't about like dying, I guess. It's about the like the struggles of trying to make a movie while you're caring for someone.
Mm-hmm. And you care about the subject too. It's not just like, oh, I'm friends with this subject. You're like, that's my dad.
Mm.
So like, yeah.
And so like there in some of the death scenes, there's a, like a, it's a, stuntman that does like the stunts. Like, and it shows the behind the scenes, like the stuntman doing it, not Dick Johnson fully doing it. Like it's not the edited, polished, finished thing.
Yeah, so, that's cool if they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if she has like a reel of all of these different actual finished vignettes, like stitched together just for like her private, like home movie collection. You imagine these being your fucking home movie?
The weirdest short film ever. Just,
yeah,
this is my dad. This is how I envision my dad dying.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, stumbling across these.
What? What's this old cardboard box in the attic of movies? Oh, my God. Grandma Kirsten was a monster.
Great grandpa with a 2x4. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny. So someone coming across those would be a...
out of context, like, yeah. This is the wildest fucking shit.
I feel like that would be a really fun thing to have on record, like good friends with your parents or parent. But like, you imagine Tyler making a short film, even just a couple of these, but just the process of trying to pull a couple of these vignettes off, like, mm-hmm. with your own parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just seeing them kind of goof out and be on camera for the first time. Cause like, I don't think Dick Johnson was ever on camera per se, like maybe because his daughter was a cinematographer and
right.
There's cameras floating around, I imagine, all the time, sort of in her life and in his life, therefore. So, yeah. But like how fun that would be, like as weird and as awkward maybe as it might be to create something like that, how goddamn valuable and,
oh yeah,
sentimental. Absolutely. And meaningful that would be after they've eventually passed. Like to look back on that, like she has hours, I'm sure, of footage of just her and her dad shooting the shit and trying to make this movie. But then she also has the finished product, which is arguably less important altogether. But just to sit back in your own collection, like you on your DVD shelf right now, there's a movie that just says like, me and my dad. And then it's just you guys trying to make a funny little movie, but
right
now he's dead and all you got. Yeah. I didn't have to go there, but
we can ask my grandma. She can reenact some wild prison stories for us, handing out food as we got extras fucking stabbing each other in the background or something.
Well, it reminds me of Screwball, that doc where they told the story of that baseball scandal.
Yeah, the Baco.
But they're all kids.
Yeah.
Because like everyone in that room acted like a fucking child. But now that's, like I just imagine like that really crisp, like Netflix looking glossy documentary look to shit now.
Yeah.
But like it's your parents and like there's good angles and editing and like there's a sound crew and lighting and there's like a whole stage that you can do this on and
get a fucking Oscar for best home movie.
Yeah, like that should be a category, home movie.
I mean, it doesn't help that someone in the family is an award-winning cinematographer.
You would just get a bunch of like home sex videos. That's it.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Academy, man. They'd be like, Harvey's home movies win again. Like, why the fuck does Weinstein movies always win?
Like, we keep submitting these.
They're beautiful. They're shot so good. I'm like, look at the fear in that girl's eyes.
He's doing this from prison. God damn.
Yeah.
I'm going to take his phone away.
He's not even getting paid. This is a passion project.
Gross.
An iPhone commercial.
Buy iPhone 30. 30.
This would be a neat thing to have, though, on your shelf.
Absolutely. So there, I have picked next week's documentary.
Already, you sneaky bastard.
I know.
Shit. I thought you were sick.
Oh.
My hands are very... very nimble.
Oh, yeah.
Sticky. Okay. I got sticky hands. Okay, what?
That's
what
true.
Is it?
I'm kind of excited about this one. I've never heard of it before.
Is it Man Bites Dog?
It is not Man Bites Dog.
It's not Man Bites Dog.
Oh. No.
Right.
It is kind of, it's going to be a cool story. I think it's about the first all-female team to enter the Whitbread round the world race. So it's like a yacht race
around
the world.
Holy fuck, that's so elitist.
Book I read about, like, a brief history of circumnavigating the globe.
Yeah.
They talk about this race, and there's some wild shit that happened.
Yes.
I don't know if it was female, but there's dudes that, like, did it solo that, like, got lost and went fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, a bunch of people died. So, like, hey, we're not doing this anymore.
So this is the story of Tracy Edwards. She was a 24-year-old cook on charter boats. So, like, a cook. Like, she wasn't a charter boat captain or anything like that. And she became the skipper of the first ever all-female crew to enter the race in 89.
Holy shit. Is this race still going?
A bunch of people died. And they kind of, I don't know if they do it anymore. Oh, I don't know if you can do it solo. I think there's, like, a whole bunch of stipulations now. This sounds great.
It's called Ocean Race now. It used to be called the Whitbread Round the World Race. But it's now, in 2001, it became the Volvo Ocean Race. And then in 2019, it was just renamed the Ocean Race.
Where is it? I guess we don't know where it starts and ends.
In 2023, it started in Alicante, Spain, and finished in Genoa, Italy.
Jesus. You imagine, like, Vespucci and Columbus looking at each other on the shores, each from their boats with a telescope, and they're like, 3, 2, 1, and then they fucking take off. Like, that just seems ludicrous. Like, not for anything. To say you did.
I thought you were going to say, like, those guys 3/4 into their trip, and you'd be like, hey, man, 300 years from now, people are going to do this just as sport.
And they're bored. Like, yeah.
Everyone's dying, and this is the craziest. So, man, they're going to have fucking races to the goddamn moon.
And in boats way smaller than theirs.
Yeah. True. Yeah. 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 And they'll be like, oh, there'll be a bunch of them. Like, there'll be like 3 people. Like, so they're all going to die.
So I don't know if it happens every year.
I couldn't see how it would, because, like, financially, how the fuck do you...
Yeah, only when there's enough people.
That's a lot to of make dumb rich people. A race. Well,
so there's a countdown on the website.
It says
20 hours, 27 minutes.
Oh, and what? What? Well, so no, could wait. That start tomorrow?
No, it's counting up.
Oh fuck. So it just happen?
I don't know.
It's counting up. Maybe it just started and it's been on for 20 hours.
And this race is like start. Yeah, the race is like going to be on when we're recording. Because there's no way. How long do you think it takes to circumnavigate the globe?
Oh, like a while, like 2 months.
Yeah.
By yacht? That's a sailing boat. Like,
yeah.
Jesus.
There's 10 legs to it.
God damn. I didn't even know boats had legs.
It doesn't say.
Would they go anywhere near where there might be like pirates, or they could have like adventures like that?
I would assume so.
Just stay away from Africa altogether. I guess you kind of can't really, can you? Kind of got to go through it.
If this is happening while we're recording, we should definitely try to get like their sat phone number and get an interview with them on the boat.
Yeah, that seems possible.
Stop talking to me. I'm trying to focus.
Hey, what are you guys doing right now? You all hungry and shit? We just had dinner. I don't know. I like land.
So on the Ocean Race website, like, it shows news, teams 2022 to 2023, boats 2022 to 2023, route, racing with purpose. Then it says Europe 2025.
Oh, interesting. So it's counting up to...
So I think there's a different route every year. So it says, as the current edition of the Ocean Race heads back towards the Northern Hemisphere, race organizers are already looking... Oh, so maybe it is going on right now.
That's... Imagine those people back in the fucking 80s, like, maybe this all-woman crew, like, they basically did it in one giant race. Like,
no, I think there's always legs.
There's always legs?
There's no way.
There's no way.
Yeah.
The whole world.
Way. Four or five people get in a boat and don't. There's no way.
That would. I wonder if that gives you the perspective that astronauts have, like that, like small Earth perspective.
Oh,
like
fuck, man! You'd have to in the middle of Pacific. Village. You're just like, oh my god, we are nothing.
Yeah, like you're just flying around the fucking Earth, like the whole globe. Even pilots, like most airline pilots, wouldn't fly around the fucking world.
Yeah.
Especially not trying that hard either.
So this is an article from Yachting World, and it says the latest edition is set to start on January 15th, 2023. So like maybe one just started? Oh, no. The Ocean Race is scheduled to run every 4 years.
So
and the Ocean Race Europe is also planned to take place every 4 years. Okay, so... So yeah, so 2025 will be the Ocean Race Europe one. I really don't know what the count up on the Ocean Race page is for. So
I will just email them.
Yeah, it's just
the guy that invented it. I wonder if he's still alive.
Probably not. He probably fucking killed by pirates or fucked up by a wave or something.
Yeah, I'm a fucking idiot. It's the time.
It says, my fucking god.
It says 2031, which is 8:31, which is technically what time it is now. So
everyone needs to know that you're the only one that has procreated in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is scary.
Okay, so let's call this one a show.
You just edit this right now, where it ends, like right now, that would be great. Yeah. Like no goodbye, nothing. You're just like fucking pull the cords. I'm done. Yeah.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, we'll be back. I'll try not to get sick this week and get another one episode out on time.
Please don't.
That'll be good. Later.
Later, gentlemen.